Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you've been listening to Midwatch with the Rev, and we're excited about what's happening. We're just back from Kenya and our third trip in less than a year, seen some great miracles. I'm going to share a little bit of it at the end of the segment, maybe last 15 minutes of the show here. But our first segment, we have a special guest, Mr. Reno Omokri. Usually, we don't have guests on the first segment, and it's usually me just talking about different things of faith. But today we change it up. He's on his way to catch a plane. In fact, he is calling us from his car. And we're just grateful to have him. We'll have him in just a second. But one thing I wanted to let you know about Reno is he is a very humble man. He is assistant to the president of Nigeria, and he's doing an awesome work over there. God has allowed him to be the Daniel and the Joseph in the ears of many, many people out there that control budgets and control decisions for countries. So we're excited to have him. He's written a book called Shun Piking. We'll jump into that in just a minute. But Mr. Reno Omokri, welcome to the show.
Do you find it hard to have your faith in the element that you're in?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the way I look at it is when you have a tea bag, the tea bag is useless unless you have hot water in the tea bag. So I see what's happening as an opportunity to express my faith, and then, you know, so what's happening is just hot water. And I'll tell you what, we've had this situation for probably about 5 years. Never once have Christians retaliated. More than 100, and in fact, probably close to 1,000, but since I don't know that figure, I'd rather be conservative. Hundreds of churches have been burned. Tens of thousands of Christians have been killed, but Christians haven't retaliated. We have the capacity to do so. But because the Christian Association of Nigeria, headed by Pastor Ayo Ishijafo, has said, no, this isn't what Christ called us to do. Christ called us to forgive, and then Christ called us to allow God to have his place for judgment. And so it's what's happening right now, it's actually ministering, because a lot of Muslims in Nigeria are embarrassed by what Muslim extremists are doing in their name. And they see that the Christians are showing love to them. And so probably more than at any other time, this has ministered to them, and this has opened them up to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Tell us why they call you the Internet Pastor.
Well, the thing is, in Nigeria, I'm well known. And so I use the social media, my personal social media profiles, to preach the word of God. And so because of the political appointment I hold, sometimes newspapers in Nigeria want to controversialize what I do, and then they call me Jonathan, that's the president, Jonathan's aide turns preacher. And then they put it out on news stories with headlines. But you know what Paul said in Philippians, I believe he said that in chapter 2, he said, some people preach Christ, you know, hoping to add to my affliction. But I don't mind, because the name of Christ is being shared abroad. So when they do these things to me, and then they make headlines trying to ridicule me, saying that, well, I'm a VIP and here I am, I'm not separating my religion from politics, what they're actually doing is they are lifting the name of Christ higher. And Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Amen. And for those who are just tuning in right now, we have Mr. Reno Omokri. He is special assistant in news media to the Nigerian president, Goodluck Jonathan. And he has founded the Mind of Christ Christian Center, which we're going to get into in a minute. He is known as the Internet Pastor. He's written a book as well. It's called Shun Piking, No Shortcuts to God, which we'll jump into in a minute. And we just want to tell you that he has a heart for God and evangelism, and that he has, literally, I can see the mind of Christ that's on him. And it's a blessing to talk to you. Now, tell us about the Mind of Christ Christian Center.
Well, the Mind of Christ Christian Center is a center that God birthed through me in California, and then I extended it to Abuja. You see, what I've noticed in the body of Christ, there is a very big lacuna. There's a vacuum. A lot of Christians don't understand that the principles of God apply to everybody on earth. It's only the promises of God that apply to Christians. Now, God isn't moved by emotions. He's moved by you when you understand his principles. For example, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And then in Hosea 6:6, God gives the antidote for that. He says that, "I prefer that you increase in knowledge than for you to give me burnt offerings." You see, Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." A lot of Christians are moved by emotions. They don't know the truth, and that's a lacuna. I've come out to film. You know what? If you live by principles, your life is going to be moving steadily in a direction that you wanted. Because a lot of people, they live their life, but God wants Christians to lead their life. And then you lead your life by understanding the principles that God gave in the Bible, and then by applying them. For example, let's talk about something called forgiveness. Most people don't know that the major pillar on which the Christian religion is built on is forgiveness. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins so we could be forgiven by God. Now, if Christians take offense, if Christians have unforgiveness in their hearts, we can't be forgiven by God and our sins remain. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us." Now, Psalm 5:12 says, "God's favor surrounds the righteous as a shield." Now, the whole idea is this, is that if you forgive and God forgives you, you become righteous. If you refuse to forgive, God won't forgive you. And then you're not in a state of righteousness, and therefore your sins can't, your prayers aren't answered. Now, a lot of people don't really realize that when they have guilt, guilt it just means unforgiveness against the self. And it's very, very difficult to spot because most unforgiveness is projected on other people. But even when you hold guilt, when you have unforgiveness against yourself, it hampers your prayers. Now, so these are some of the principles I teach to people because it's very important for people to know these principles and then be able to pray properly and then have their prayers answered, because nothing grows your faith than praying and having God answer your prayers.
Mm. That's amazing. Now, the Mind of Christ Christian Center, is that an actual building and church, or is that broadcasting? How is that?
It's an actual church. It's an actual Christian center in Abuja. It's actually started in my living room in California, and then when I got this political appointment by the president of Nigeria, I moved to Nigeria, and then we have a rented facility where we meet. And we meet on Sundays at 9 a.m. and we meet on Thursdays at 6 p.m. And then also we have a major campaign on the internet where we reach literally tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. I have people from India, people from Latin America, people from African countries, people from all over the world participating. And then I also preach the gospel, and then it's filmed, and then it's actually televised via the internet. Very similar to what you're doing, actually. If you go on YouTube, you'd see that I share freely a lot of teachings on various principles from the Bible.
Amen. So is there... any difference between you residing in the United States and then moving over to Nigeria? How would you compare the two locations and the work that you do in both places?
Well, I'll just put it here. California, where I live, is probably the most beautiful place in the world. And, you know, in California, it's very easy for you to become complacent, you know. It's such a comfortable place. Nigeria is not as comfortable, obviously, as California. And then also, with all the difficulties that we're having, where we're worshiping God under armed guard, knowing that, you know, it's quite possible that we could be attacked, we could be killed, you know, bombs have been thrown in churches. So that, you know, you can actually feel your love for God growing, because, you know, well, there's all these risks involved, and yet you're willing to do it. And it's not just me, because I don't want to go into self-aggravation, but you see people coming to church, you know, sometimes we had a crusade last year. We had some ministers coming from California, Pastor Andy Cochran, his wife, Darlene, and their granddaughter, Michelle. We had a crusade in Nigeria. We had people give their lives to Christ. We went to some of the poorest places on earth, and then we have the crusade. So it's actually more fulfilling because you are going to where the harvest is plentiful.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, when I got back, I couldn't wait to get some American food. But in Kenya, it was this is my third trip to Kenya in less than a year. Three trips to Kenya already, and I've enjoyed the dry fried chicken and chips. That's what they've been feeding me. And this last trip, I had some samosa with beef. So, you know, a little bit of America in that kind of stuff. But when you say you go to the poorest areas, I understand. And we just got back. We were in the slums in Nairobi, and we were in the Mwiki slums. And we seen God move, and we seen God touch people. God wants to show himself to people. And even in the darkest of areas, even in the most persecuted areas, God will shine bright. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, with what you said, you know, like, I've met and I'm still meeting a lot of the most powerful people in the world. And, you know, I travel a lot, and sometimes I'm on a plane and I meet very powerful diplomats who control budgets running into millions, sometimes into hundreds of millions. And sometimes they'll tell me, I don't believe in God. And I tell them, well, you see, you don't really believe in God, you know. But let me ask you. And then sometimes I get up and I go stand behind them. And after a while, this always happens. They turn and then they look at me. And I tell them, why did you turn and look at me? And then they told me, well, I sensed somebody watching me. And I told them, okay, you have a sense of taste, you have a sense of smell, you have a sense of touch, you have a sense of hearing, and you have a sense of sight. Which of those senses did you use to perceive me watching you? And they said, well, I mean, none of them, but I just sensed you. I said, well, the reason why you sensed me is because you have a sixth sense, you have a spirit. Because if you can explain to me in a logical, natural way, how you sense I was watching you. And then I always get them, they're very confused, and say, well, actually, you're right. I mean, there's no way I can explain sensing you. And then I take them to Job 32:8 in the Bible, which says, there is a spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, which gives him inspiration. And I tell them, that's how you knew I was watching you. You are not a man. You are a spirit. You have a body. You're a spirit. And you know what, Dr. Yenej, so many people have come to a belief in God by just that experience.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. God has put you in a place to be in the ear. I hear in the ear of those that make decisions. And that's a place that Joseph was in. That's a place that Daniel was in. And even today, that's a place where you are, you know. And it's where God's using you. And it's amazing. Now, how is church attendance out there, especially with radicals and bombings? Do you sometimes wonder if your church is going to show up when you go on Sundays?
No. I have no such fear. I have no such fear. And it's not just in the church where I pastor. Church attendance is actually, I have no scientific way of proving this, but church attendance is actually, it's actually growing. Because you see, the thing there is this, is like people are getting disillusioned how do I say this in a delicate way? You know, like, for instance, you are a Muslim, and then these people are killing Christians in your name, and then you're not seeing Christians retaliating. You're seeing them, you know, showing love, and then you're seeing them. Right now, it's very surprising, but right now, believe it or not, you have Christian bodies all over the north of Nigeria doing charity work, showing people the love of God. You know, so it's actually, I see a lot of opportunities even in this tragedy.
That's amazing. And tell us some of the things that you've seen in the coalition. You have a coalition of pastors there. How big is this coalition? As the one that you're part of?
It's very massive. It's massive. We have, because it's actually, it's called the Christian Association of Nigeria. It's very massive. It's big. And there's a lot of discipline. We have a president who is elected, and when he gives a direction, the Christian body follows that direction. You know, there's a lot of discipline, and probably more so even than the discipline that they have in the political arena. So, for instance, if you, David Yanez, wanted to come over to Nigeria and then you wanted to have a crusade, we could put the word out there, and then we could get probably hundreds of thousands of people. I'll give you a very good example. Reinhard Bonnke was in Nigeria some years ago, and almost 1 million people, 900,000 people, turned up for his crusade.
Amazing. And then he worked with your association?
Oh, no. Then I wasn't a minister then. I was still in school.
Okay. So that's pretty big. That's really large. So when you look at that, I mean, you have to really be led by the Spirit on which crusade is due, and you have to be really led by the Spirit on how, you know, how much effort to put into each thing. So that's amazing, my brother. Tell us about your book, Shun Piking.
Well, yeah, Shun Piking. You see, the thing is, you know, the word Shun Piking denotes a person who tries to avoid toll roads and then takes backwater roads and then off roads, hoping to avoid paying the toll, but ends up spending more money in gas and time trying to avoid the toll. So it's better off for that person to just pay the toll and then get to his destination faster. Sometimes a shun piker doesn't even get to his destination. And so that's the thing, is like, you know, in the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we may think or ask. Now, that's the principle. This book I've written is a book that really x-rays biblical principles and helps you to align your words and your thoughts with the Word of God. A basic problem that a lot of Christians have is unanswered prayers. And one of the subjects I've dealt in the book is just this. It's like I tell people, your thoughts are very important, because you can't think something and then you pray something different. You have to align your thoughts with your words. When I read the Bible, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. The most potent prayers in the Bible were not even spoken. They were thoughts. The woman with the issue of blood, she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. She didn't even utter a word. And that prayer was answered. And so you have to understand that thoughts are very, very pure. Thoughts are very, very pure. And so if you can teach yourself to think properly, as the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what I've done with this book is to take biblical principles and then extract them, simplify them, use them in everyday, give people everyday examples by which they can use these principles to actually enrich their spiritual faith and have their prayers answered. And that's what I've done with this book. I've been in Atlanta. I've been promoting the book, and I was talking to some people there. You know, some people asked me, like, okay, well, I actually believe in God, you know, and I actually believe there's a God, but I don't believe, for instance, you know, like that the blood of Jesus cleanses the human race from sin. And then I was explaining to them, I told them, for instance, I said, you know how HIV/AIDS came into the world? And they told me no. I said, well, what happened is that one man in Central Africa, he ingested, because like, I'm sure you know in Central Africa they eat wild animals.
Yes.
You know that, right?
Yes.
Now, he ate a wild animal, and he was infected by an HIV virus from this ape that he ate. And then his blood was infected, and it mutated and became HIV. And through that one man, HIV/AIDS came into the world, and now millions of people have died. And I told him, if you can believe that through that one man's blood, this whole world now has HIV, why can't you believe that through the blood of Jesus, a perfect man, that this whole world can be cleansed? These are some of the issues I deal with in my book.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, how long has your book been out?
My book, it officially came out in Barnes & Noble's on the 5th of September. That was just last week. It's been out on Amazon.com for about 2 months now. And you can also get it on my website, renoomokri.org. That's R-E-N-O-O-M-O-K-R-I. Advance.org. But, you know, it's best to get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it walking into the stores, and you can also get it online, or you can get it at Amazon.com. It's also available in Europe, in Asia, in South America.
Amen. Now, is this your first book?
Yeah, it's my first book, yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Because I was a political consultant, I'd written books, but, you know, I wrote it for other people.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This is the first book that's coming out under my name.
Amen. So this is I've been thumbing through it and looking at it. I just got back from the trip and it was waiting for me on my desk, and I was like, wow. So this is the guy. Cool. You look like a young strong man there.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. One of the issues I deal with my book is this. You know, I like to use parables, because that is Jesus Christ is my mentor in life, and he used parables. You know. I was telling my children, you know, they asked a question. They said to me, Dad, how are shadows produced? And then I was explaining to them, and then it just struck me. I said, well, for shadows to be produced, you need light. And then you need something to block the light. And then you need a surface for the shadow to fall on. And then just when I said that, I remembered 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness. And then I just remembered, I said, wow, God is light and in him is no darkness. Why did Satan fall? Satan fell because he attempted to block the light. And then he fell to the ground. And then Jesus rose because he did the will of the Father. And the Bible tells us, because of that, God has given him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, both of things in the earth and things under the earth and things in the heavens. And one of those, I say, it's really explained there in my book. I said to people, I said, Jesus said when he was on earth, he said, you know, you said this at the beginning of the program, Mark 11, he said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. And if you don't forgive, if you carry unforgiveness in your heart, if you don't forgive, it's very important, because God, angels in the ministry of Holy Spirit is to walk within you, but angels, they walk outside of you. Now, angels, they cannot come close to you. They cannot walk around you, because it's almost like you have an unpleasant, offensive odor when you harbor unforgiveness. And these are some of the issues I deal with in my book. If you read my book, all 176 pages of it, one thing I can assure is that your understanding of the principles of God and how to get your prayers answered is going to be exploded.
Amen. I'm looking at your chapter, Effective Prayer. And one thing I like is they say prayer with thanksgiving. Tell us about that real quick.
Well, that's the thing. It's like thanksgiving is completely different from giving. A lot of people misunderstand that. You see, the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, it says, be anxious over nothing, but in everything by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Now, the Bible says that. Now, thanksgiving, if I gave you something, Dr. Yanez, if I gave you a copy of my book, what are you going to tell me?
Thank you. Yes.
Good. Now, you tell me thank you because I've given you something. Now, faith, genuine faith, is behavior in the present as though what you hope for in the future has occurred. So if you pray to God and you actually believe that God has answered your prayers, what you do is you say thank you to God even before you see the answer to your prayer. And so that's what thanksgiving is. Whenever you pray, you give God a thanks offering. And that thanks offering is like a physical demonstration of the fact that you believe God is going to answer your prayer. That's completely different from giving as a lifestyle. The Bible asks us in Luke 6:38 to give, and it shall be given to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. But thanksgiving is a thank you to God, because you believe that you're going to receive what you've prayed for.
That's amazing. We just got a couple of minutes before we go to our break. Tell people out there how to stay focused. Like you stay focused. You're constantly in front of people. In fact, one of your Joe Trippi writes as on your book, he says, Reno is a passionate visionary. He has worked at the highest level of politics and has never lost focus for what he does it. To improve the lives of ordinary people guided by his values of peace and justice. I've known Reno for a long time, and it's obvious how his faith in God through Jesus Christ inspires him spiritually, professionally, and personally, and will inspire all who read this book. Tell us how you stay so focused. I mean, you're seeing anyone can get a big head, like we say in America, you know, can get very prideful. But you've been able to stay humble. Tell us your secret, my brother.
My secret is found in Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. And both verses are basically the same thing. It says that Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. That's the key word. Meditate on it day and night. And in so doing, shall you make your way prosperous. And then also Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3 says, blessed is the man that walks not according to the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of sinners, nor stand in the path of scoffers. But the law of the Lord is his guide, and on it he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf withers not, and he bears fruit in due season, and everything he puts his hand to do shall prosper. I read the Bible every morning and every night. Every morning and every night, unfailingly. Now, if the president of my country calls me and I'm reading the Bible or I'm praying, I'm not going to interrupt what I do. And so because I do that, you know, the power of God, I take it within me, and then it helps me. And then when I realize that the Bible says in Philippians 2:13 that it is God that works in me, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure, it becomes obvious to me that all the things I've achieved, it's not by my power. It's actually by the power of God. And the only thing I'm allowed to boast of in life, Jeremiah 9:24, it says, let him that boast in this, that he knows me, and that I am a God who delights in mercy, righteousness, and justice. The only thing I'm allowed to boast of in life is that I know God. And that's why Jesus Christ said in John 8:32, he says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's how I stay focused. I plug into God, I stay connected to God, and that God is my power source. It keeps me focused, and I'm just a living vessel, and that's how I stay focused.
Amen. That's powerful. I just had one more question to ask you, because you know I'm barely going to Kenya this last year, and I've been there three times. What is in I don't know all the nations there as far as the Christian climate, political climate, but between Uganda, Nigeria, and Kenya, which is the one that's more hostile between those three?
Well, I would say that Somalia is probably the most hostile country because Al-Shabaab, that is the Islamic militants, have, you know, taken a hold of much of the country, and they've made the country ungovernable, and they've spread Sharia law there. Of all the countries, I would probably say that Nigeria is probably the country that's less hostile. However, if you go to some parts of the north of Nigeria where there is currently an Islamic militancy, you might face some hostility. But that's just it's just a small portion of the country. The rest of the country is open to the gospel of Christ.
Okay, and then Kenya pretty open? Because from what I've gone, it's been real open.
Yeah, Kenya. I've never been to Kenya, but from what I know of Kenya, Kenya is pretty open. They have in Kenya some issues, not because of Kenya itself, but because, you know, Kenya borders Uganda. It borders some other countries.
Yes.
Where you have Islamic militants have been operating. As a matter of fact, the Kenyan army had to do an operation against, I believe it was Al-Shabaab, because they used to enter into Kenya to attack Western tourists. And, you know, so that was an issue. And so they began an operation. So you have to understand that Kenya is around the center of Africa, where it borders a lot of countries, where you have a lot of activities that are anti-Christ and pro Islamic extremism happening.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, give us your contact information again, your website, whatever information you want to give the listeners.
Well, you can contact me via my website, and that's renoomokri.org. That is Reno R-E-N-O, Omokri, omokri.org. I'm also on Twitter. You can contact me on Twitter. Just my name, Reno, at Reno Omokri on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. You know, and if you buy my book, Sean Paikin, No Shortcuts to God, at the very last page of my book, the details on how to contact me are there. I like to visit churches all over the world. If you are a church group listening to this broadcast in the United States, you can invite me after reading my book, and then I'll come. I'd like to minister at your church. It's my passion. My passion in life is evangelism, and I always want to evangelize because I am very suspicious of any Christianity whose end result is not evangelism. The very first thing Jesus Christ told his disciples is, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. The very last thing he told them before leaving earth was, go ye into the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to do all those things which I have taught you. The end result of Christianity is not miracles and the prosperity gospel. The end result is to make disciples of the whole world. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations of the earth, and then the end shall come. The reason why he said this gospel is because he knew that another gospel will be attempted to be preached at the end of the world.
Amen. Thank you, Reno. If you just hold the line, I'll be back with you in just a second. And I just want to tell you thank you again for being on the air with us. His book, Sean Paikin, can be bought anywhere books are sold, on Barnes & Noble, his website. Please visit both or just go to Barnes & Noble. We love the foot traffic as authors into the bookstores because that gets those books on the shelves. And we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Young.
God bless.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Have you ever thought about numbers? They surround us. Phone numbers, social security numbers, house numbers, credit scores, our age, our bank accounts. Throughout life, we can't get away from numbers. Some numbers help us and certain numbers hurt us. But I have great news for you today. Welcome to One Impact Life. I'm Terry Squires and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute show that will impact your life and the lives around you. Numbers are woven throughout God's story from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelations. God uses numbers to reveal His strength and His purpose. It is filled with extraordinary stories of ordinary people, just like you and me, that God chose to use to impact the world. But I've noticed He especially likes to use the number one. God chose one man, Abraham, and promised him that he'd be the father of many nations, that from one man, his descendants would number more than all the stars in the skies. But it seemed impossible to others that an old man and his wife too old to bear children would be blessed with a son of their own. But because of Abraham's faith, he became the father of God's chosen children. In the book of Judges, God chose one man, Gideon, to fight the Midianites. So Gideon gathered up 32,000 warriors. But that number wasn't the number God chose. He told Gideon to narrow it down to 300 men, even though they were up against 72,000 Midianites. God knew that 300 was the perfect number for victory, and it was. It just took one boy's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for Jesus to feed 5,000. God chose one boy, David, to defeat Goliath when the whole entire Israelite army was too afraid to face him. God chose one woman, Ruth, to ensure that Jesus' birth line remained guaranteed. God chose one brave queen, Esther, who saved the lives of thousands of Jews when she dared to enter the king's quarters and begged him to change the law that would have killed them all. But most importantly, God chose one man, Jesus, his one and only Son to save humankind and give us eternal life. One life, one way, one salvation, one sacrifice, one Lord, one Lamb, one Savior, one name upon which every knee in heaven and earth will bow. And today, the number one is still important to God. He just needs one person like you, willing to use what you have to impact another life. Now you might be thinking, Terry, how could God use me? I've made so many mistakes, more mistakes than I could ever count. Listen to me. That is when God can use you most. Even if the numbers in your life don't seem to be adding up right now, God has your number. He is the one who knows you best and loves you most. Do you hear that? He is the one that knows you best and loves you most. He fashioned you in your mother's womb and ordained all your days, every single one, before one of them came to be. Psalm 139:16. He made you unique and special with gifts and dreams and contributions that you alone can share with the world. Won't you join me today to change the world, one life at a time? He's waiting for you. I'd love to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, visit me at www.oneimpactbible.com. So until next time, I'm Terry Squires. Change a life and make your one impact.
Turn up the music.
Welcome to Turn Up the Music with Cheryl Giesbrecht. I'm DC Carter. Today we'll learn about how God makes us complete in Jesus Christ. Here's Cheryl.
Ever wished you were someone else? Or have you ever felt needy or been over-dependent on others? Me too. I've wanted to be just like someone I really admire, or I wanted to hang around them because they had it all together in an area I didn't. Or other times I feel good when I'm around certain people because they give me a lot of encouraging words and compliments, and it builds me up when they've given me even the smallest affirmation of my looks, ability, or even just an occasional thank you. Pretty sad, isn't it? I call this waiting for scraps to fall from the beggar's table. And when I get excessively needy like this, I'm reminded God doesn't want me or you to be dependent on this type of handout from others. We don't need compliments, flattery, or to be noticed by others. We should be encouraged to rest in the fact that God loves us. God sent His only Son, Jesus, to die in our place. And He would have done this if we were the only person on earth. That's how much God loves us. Jesus' death was the only payment God would accept for our sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus had victory over death when He rose from the dead on the third day. His resurrection is proof that He is God. Literally, Jesus Christ took our sin. He was our substitute so that we might become the righteousness of God. When God sees us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees us through Jesus Christ. Cutlass sings the song Complete. It talks about a God who doesn't need anything or anyone. And God chooses us, that's you and me, to display His glory. Here's Cutlass.
It all began, the broken state that I was in. I wish that I was someone else, 'cause I was lost inside myself. I started seeing who I am the day my life with you began.
It's all because of love.
Dear Heavenly Father, it's almost unfathomable that you have chosen us. Thank you for your love. Thank you that it's all because of love that I'm not who I was. I'm who I'm meant to be. Thank you for making abundant life in Christ possible for us. We fall on our knees, we bow at your feet, and we say thank you that we are complete in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn up the
music. Thanks for joining Cheryl Giesbrecht with Turn Up the Music. For information on Cheryl's products or speaking ministry, go to FromAshesToBeauty.com. I'm D.C. Carter. Have a great week.
Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of the show today. A little bit of a sound issue today. We had the first 5 minutes of the show not broadcasting, so I'll have to re-edit that and throw something in there. But I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here and a part of the broadcast, in the regular broadcast that we normally have here on Midwatch with the Rev. It was running without me for a couple of weeks, but was going to jump into some of the things that happened in Africa. A lot of people thought I went to India. I guess, you know, if I'm standing inside my studio here and I'm looking around, I have banners everywhere from India. And I don't have one banner from Africa, but today I do. Today I do. I have one more banner and I'm excited to put this one up. Can't wait till the show's over. Not that I want to get rid of you, but I got to find a spot to put this, and I'm going to hang it. It's the first one that we get to hang from Africa, and I'm slapping my desk like, yes, yes, we did it. And God did it, actually. 3 times I've been to Africa. 3 times in the last 1 year. In 1 year, been back 3 times, going to be back 4 times in December. Some amazing things happened, and I can jump into a few of them, which I'll share a little bit of the testimony. I have my newsletter out, so if you haven't gotten to the newsletter, became a part of that newsletter, you can. If you go to davidyanisministries.com, you'll be able to get that. And we do a simple little blog of after our trips. I'm not really a blogger. My very good friend, she's like a sister, Michelle Borquez. She has a great ministry and different things. She's doing very busy as well. She's like a big sister, always getting after me. David, you better do the blogs. You got to do social media. You know, I've had many friends that are working in the PR business, I guess publicists. Well, anyway, I've had plenty of friends that want to do different things for me and help. And I don't mind. I would love their help. Not a problem at all. But I kind of like how God does it. I kind of like that he goes before me. I'm going to share this testimony real quick to you. Because y'all been all listening to me. And y'all can tell I'm a Texan. Y'all been all listening to me the last few weeks before the actual trip. And y'all know that I was going out there to do the Global Media Broadcast Center. It was something that God has put in my heart. And sometimes when we get things put in our heart, we're kind of like wondering, was that me? Was that God? Was that me? Was that God? Flip a coin. No. But when you know it's from God, before we went on that trip on that plane, I was here in the station. And I said, I'm going out there in faith. In fact, I could probably find it when I said that I could have the recording. When I said, I'm going out there in faith. I'm trusting God that God has something out there for me, that God has the broadcasting people that we're going to meet with, that we're going to be able to do this in this one trip. A lot of things we had to do. A lot of things had to be at the right time, at the right place, at the right position for God to do something. And I tell you, it was amazing because we were able to go out there, and I said, this is the same thing. This one thing I said I needed a meeting with Safaricom executives before I leave. I said that on my radio show, right here on Midwatch. I said that on the TV show. Did I? I don't know if it was on TV show. I don't think we're doing TV at that time. I think we were finished up with our schedule. In fact, next week we're going to start recording for the new season. Aaron Bros, he's going to be one of the first people on, and then we're going to have a couple of more that have some other things that have just been released, and then we're going to work our way through the Christmas ones as well. I have several Christmas books. But anyway, back on the Global Media Broadcast Center. Do you know that I say, God, I don't know who I'm going to meet out there or how I'm going to meet them, but I need to meet the executives. On a Wednesday, 4 days I've been there already. I'm doing ministry, preaching. I said, okay, Tuesday and Wednesday, I need to focus on a couple of things. And one of the things we need to focus on was, it was a Tuesday, I'm sorry, that we need to focus on is getting the Global Broadcast Media Center to get the internet tested. So we went to a place called Orange, which is one of the providers that have high quality internet, 2 megabytes on upload. No way things get done with 2 megabytes. I mean, that's barely 3G, and that's only emails and stuff like that, not really videos playing. So I turned around and I said, this is not the place. How many of us know? We know God's going to bless us. We can't make it happen from a place that can't make it happen themselves. So I just looked at it and said, well, God's not going to bless through this because it doesn't have the ability to do it. And God, I mean, can work wonders and miracles and do great things. But unless I'm in the right place, unless I'm in the right area, unless I'm with the right people that can do it, it's going to be very difficult for God to do this. Amen. So I said, this is not the place. I looked at my friend, and as much as we tried, I kept looking at him and I said, no. This is not the place. This is not the place. Let's go. So we took off. We went to a place, Safaricom, a retailer, and one of the largest company, the largest internet provider, the largest internet provider for the nations of Africa, for all of Africa, South Africa, everywhere. They are the number one provider of internet. So if anyone can do it, they could. If anyone can do it, they could. So I said, Lord, just guide us. Show us what we're supposed to be doing. Show us how we're supposed to be doing this. And would you believe, we went into the retail place and we sat, well, we stood there. They sent us to another guy in the retail place that worked the tables and took care of engineering stuff. And he looked at us and he looked and said, well, no, you would not be able to. Even though all their advertisement around the entire internet and around all the advertisement on the television and the billboards around Africa says that they're 3G, almost 4G, 21 megabytes. It was not true. They said two megabytes was the best we can get. So I looked at that and I said, Lord, it's not going to happen with this guy. Show us a way. But I felt that they could do it. I knew they had the technology. So then we start talking to him and he goes, you know, you're going to have to go to the business side of our Safaricom called Max Light. And I'm like, well, here's an avenue. Maybe we should go through this. And he just kind of just gave us a phone number and just was going to let us go. So I looked at him. I said, sir, can I explain to you what I'm doing? How many times we have to just explain the vision to someone? I stood there and I explained to him the vision. I think I even played him the trailer of what I was trying to do. I made a little animation. Y'all know about the animation. And within a couple of minutes, he looked at me and he said, I have someone. I have someone that can do this. I know someone that can help us. And he goes, let me make a call. And within a minute, he handed us the phone and said, please talk to him. Tell him what you're trying to do. And they handed me the phone. And I just, I'm a natural businessman. So I went ahead and told him what we're trying to do. And then I handed the phone back to my friend that was my translator and that was my host. And he talked to them for a few minutes. And he said, well, they're going to call us back. They said, don't leave the mall because we're inside a shopping mall, pretty good sized mall. He goes, don't leave the mall because they're going to do something. And they may be able to get us a meeting. 10 minutes later, they call us. And the main executive's building is only about 5 minutes, 10 minutes down the road from where we're at. And they said, if you can get here in 30 minutes, we'll have a meeting with you. And it took us about that long to get there because the jams, they call them jams, the traffic. But we got there. And when we got there, we talked to them. Before we even went in, there's a guard check. And you have to have favor just to even find a parking in those areas. And the guards actually let us park right outside the fence and just leave the car there for the meeting because we're going to be more than an hour. Went up to the guard check, you know, got inspected and everything. And then when I was looking at this floor, at the ground, as we were walking into the building, it had these little yellow footpaths with little feet. And I pointed to him and I looked at my friend and said, God will go before you. The Bible says, and I shared this before I even left on the plane, that God is going to go before us because the scripture said that he searches the heart of man to search to see who he can use, that he could go before them and show himself strongly. And I go, look, the Lord has gone before us and showed himself strongly for our ministry. And I tell you what, we went up there a few minutes. Won't go into all the details, but it's possible. And right now they're doing a survey to see how they can get the internet to the building that we want to use for the broadcast center. And within a few months or so, we should have some answers. And we were sitting with the corporate executives of Safaricom in a corporate office talking the business of God. Amen. God will go before you every single time. You just let him go before you. Don't try and force it. Don't try and make it happen. Let him make it happen, because it's so much more that he can do for you. I'm telling you this out of experience and just out of faith that God is an awesome God and that he has gone before us in this awesome, awesome work that we do. I tell you what, God is good. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that he loves us. There's no doubt that he's part of us. There's no doubt that he has a will for what we're doing. I trust him. I trust him with all my heart that he's going to do the work that we're going that we put before, and that all we are caretakers and innovators, and we just go forward. And it's an amazing thing that God is doing. It is an amazing thing when you can go to another country. And you know, in your country, you can probably take a little credit, praise God. But when you go into another country, not knowing a single person, not knowing a single individual in the business world there, and you just come in there and God opens a door where you're sitting in front of the people that you need to talk to that have business decision making. That is God. That is God. That is God. God, and you just allow him to do it. We're very grateful that we had Reno on the show, Reno Mockery. We are so excited about having him. And God's opened the door for us to work together and do something in Nigeria. How much more can God do? How much more? You just have to be willing, opening your heart, trusting God. And I just felt when they called me for this interview, even though it was a week earlier than I wanted to get back here at the station, I felt to take it because it was my only opportunity to talk to this young man. And I felt that there was going to be something more than just an interview. And God was right. I want to thank my publicist friend, Miss Rhonda Funk, for getting this interview together for us. And she's an awesome. She brings me a lot of people every single time. And she's a great, great woman of God as well. And I want to just give her a shout out for getting this interview together. And this interview may have tied something together for the future in faith to work in Nigeria. So, my friends, we'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. I'm sorry to cut you right at 12, but I got to get things going and get this banner hanged up. You want to be in tune on Thursday's show. We have another great guest, but we also have about 30 minutes. We're going to talk about the mission trip. Miracles, miracles, miracles happen in Africa. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time on the Midwatch. God bless. We love you. Thank you for tuning in.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.